Be sure and pick up the latest Indiana Bible College recording entitled Jesus at www.voicevision.com.
This week on the IBC podcast, we have our student speaker, Alyssa Harwood, on the topic, Your Promise Isn't Dead.
Why don't you go ahead and praise the Lord this morning? Wow. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. He really is amazing, and I'm so undeserving of his love and his grace and his mercy. It looks different from up here speaking than leading worship. Feels different, too. So forgive me if I seem a little frazzled or nervous. I've never actually spoken in chapel before, so this is my first time. But first, I just want to give thanks to Student Council for giving me the opportunity and asking. I never thought that I would ever be leading worship up here, let alone speaking to you, so I'm very humble for the opportunity. And I want to thank the staff for everything that they do for this school, for pouring into us day after day, the battles that they face, for their sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Very thankful for what they do for us. And I also want to thank my parents. I know they're not here, but they are some of the strongest people I've ever met and I will ever know. And if it wasn't for their support and the call of God on my life, I would not be here at this school. And I want them to know that the money and the time that they've spent for me to be here is not wasted, is going towards something greater than they can imagine. And I'm very thankful and very blessed. And last but not least, I want to thank God for my pastor and his wife. They are some of the selfless, loving, sincere people you will ever get to meet. I've traveled to some places and I've met really great, fantastic, godly people, but nobody compared to my pastor and his wife. And I'm thankful for their vision in my life and for their church and for everything they've done for me. I'm going to spend the majority of my time in the book of 1 Kings, but first I want to open up in 2 Corinthians 1:20. And I'll wait until you get it. I always feel like the people start speaking really fast, and I always forget by the time they start reading the scripture where I'm supposed to be reading the scripture at in my Bible. So I'll give you some time. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." This morning, I believe that the Lord wants to remind somebody that he's given you a promise. Brother Pedigo almost touched on it Tuesday, and then last night, the speaker almost spoke on it as well. But I just want to remind somebody today that God will not fail you, and he hasn't forgotten about you. And if I could title this morning, it would be, "Your Promise Isn't Dead." It's nothing new, nothing you haven't heard, but I just feel like whether it's one person in this place or whether God wants to remind me, I just know that somebody needs to be reminded that your promise isn't dead this morning. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now we're going to move to 1 Kings 17, 8 through 9. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise," forgive me if I say these words wrong, "get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." After speaking to Ahab, we see that prophet Elijah, he was prophesying to him that there would be no rain. And the Lord sent Elijah to Zarephath. And the Lord spoke of a widow woman that would sustain the prophet while he stayed there. When he got to the gate of the city, Elijah saw the woman, and he called out to her and asked her to fetch him some water. As she was doing what she was asked, he called out to her a second time and asked her to bring him a morsel of bread. I imagine that many emotions probably crossed this woman's face, ran through her mind as soon as he asked this of her. Probably a little bit of sorrow, fear, maybe sadness. And she said in verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse." Here's where I imagine that the sorrow probably weighed really heavy on her. She continues to say, "And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I say sorrow because this woman knew what was ahead of her for her and her son, death. Elijah says to her and comforts her and says, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel," verse 14, "the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, my mom was previously married before she met my dad. They both were, and they each had two kids of their own. But I remember hearing my mom tell me stories that if they didn't have enough food, my mom would give her kids the plate, her plate, so that way they would not go hungry. It's just simply the sacrifice a mother is willing to make for her children. And yet this mother went on and did what this prophet asked, making this man that she did not know a meal before she fed her own son. And in return, because of her faithfulness, the Lord blessed her with more than she could even imagine. He blessed her with a promise. We see that in verse 14, the Lord promised that if this woman listened to the man of God, he would supply her need and take care of her and her son. Maybe you're not in need of food today, but maybe your situation seems just as impossible. If the Lord saw this widow, surely he sees you too. Stay faithful. I understand in the middle of your trial, it may seem easy to get distracted and discouraged, but remember that the Lord has promised that he's going to take care of you. In the next couple of verses, we see that the son of this same woman falls sick and dies. The same woman that did just as God told her to do. Understand that this woman obviously wasn't new to pain, but imagine being a widow. You've already lost the one person that you love with all of your heart. Imagine getting ready to lose and are losing the only person you have left. I've heard that when a mother loses a child, the pain is so unbearable, and forgive me for saying this, but they would much rather go back through childbirth again than to lose their own baby. So I can only imagine how much sorrow and how much torment this widow, this mother felt. And in verse 18, she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son after everything I've done? Are you here just to bring me the worst pain, the worst suffering that I will ever feel, that I will ever face? Do you mean to tell me that after my faithfulness, my son is just going to die?" Listen to me this morning. Maybe you're in the place where you're saying, "God, I've done all I know to do. I pray, I fast, I read my Bible, I come to church, I'm involved in the ministry, I sing on the platform, I'm doing everything you want me to do. Why am I going through what I'm going through?" Elijah took the boy up to his bed and he cried unto the Lord, saying, "O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." Verse 22, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." Elijah took the boy down to his mother, and he said, "See, thy son liveth." Elijah stretched himself upon the child three times. Three times. I understand that the Lord can answer a prayer immediately. I know that he can do exactly as he pleases, but just because you pray once and nothing happens that you can see, it doesn't mean that the Lord didn't hear you. Just because things don't happen when you want them doesn't mean that your promise is dead. God's promises are yea and amen. Maybe the money isn't in the bank account and you don't have any idea how you're going to pay your school bill. God called you to IBC. He'll provide. Your promise isn't dead. Maybe there's a sickness in the family, or maybe you're sick and you feel like it's never going to go away. You're doing everything right. You've prayed. Everyone around you has prayed, and yet you haven't seen your healing. Keep praying. Keep reminding yourself that the God that you serve is still a healer. Your promise isn't dead. Maybe you've been praying for years for your family to be saved. When God comes up in your conversations at Thanksgiving and Christmas, they shut it down because they don't want to have anything to do with it. And you invite them to church, and they never come, and you continue to invite them, and they never seem interested. And yet the one time that you do invite them, they don't receive the Holy Ghost. They don't get baptized. But you don't know what God did to them in that service. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep inviting them. Your promise isn't dead. This past Sunday, Chosen had the opportunity to go to my home church in Crawfordsville. And I am the youngest out of six siblings. And my oldest brother is 42. So you can imagine the age difference there. And nobody wants to listen to their baby sister, their 21-year-old baby sister, tell them about God or how to live their life. And they're all unsaved, mind you. And so Sunday night, this isn't really a big deal. I don't have anything miraculous to tell you, but to me, it's a big deal. I had 9 unsaved family members come to church on Sunday night and 1 in the morning. And to you, that may not seem like a big deal, but I've never had my family come to church with me before. And Mariah told me that in the back of the row, my aunt, as she sat there, she just wiped her eyes the whole time. And she raised her hands a couple times. And I don't know what God did in her life and what he did in their life. But I'm telling you, I will never stop praying. I will never stop inviting them. I will never stop showing them the love of God. You know why? Because my promise isn't dead. Thank you, God. Now, those of you who know him, please do not say anything. If he finds out, I will literally be killed. But Sunday night, the Lord really moved on my pastor's son. And I mean, really moved. It was amazing. I haven't seen it in a long time. And so I was walking up back to the altar, and my pastor stopped me, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "Alyssa, did you see my son?" And I said, "Yes, pastor, I saw him." And as he began to cry, he just hugged me, and he grabbed me, and he sobbed. That's a man that hasn't given up. That's a man that has remained faithful. And I believe the Lord reminded him that night that his promise wasn't and isn't dead. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises." Maybe your situation seems near impossible. Now we're going to move to 1 Kings chapter 18, starting around verse 21. And Elijah went to the prophets of Baal. He tells them all to gather 2 bullocks, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but not to put any fire under. He challenged them and said in verse 24, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." In verse 26, it says, "They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice, nor any that answered." And so, of course, Elijah mocked them, and he said, "Cry louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he needs you to wake him up." But when Elijah put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Hear me, O Lord, hear me." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." I don't know about you, but that excites me today. Someone in this room needs to be reminded that you don't serve Baal. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't serve Baal. You serve a living God. And verse 28 says, "And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them." This world is serving a God that doesn't respond. They're serving a God that doesn't hear them. They're trying everything. They're surrendering everything. They're giving everything to a God that doesn't even exist. And you're sitting here in a room in the presence of the Almighty God, and yet we can't even raise our hands and clap to Him because He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. We should never take a service like this for granted. The Lord is calling His people. There's a world out there that are giving everything to a God that can't give anything back to them. And yet you serve a God that has a mansion waiting for you in heaven, that has given you blessing after blessing. And yet we can't even spend 2 hours worshiping Him, but we can spend 6 hours on our cell phones or playing video games. An idol is an idol. An idol is an idol. And I'm saying that to myself as well. Because the Lord knows it's so easy to get so busy in practices here and just practicing piano or doing homework and whatever it is. But yet I have a hard time finding time to pray or to read my Bible. And what am I even doing here? I'm at Bible college. If I can't even put in practice what I'm learning in the classrooms, then what am I spending my money on? But today you serve a God that hears you, that sees you, that knows exactly where you're at and what He's doing. He doesn't make a mistake. Every person that you're around right now, everything that's going on in your life is there for a reason. You think it's just by accident. You think that it's just by choice. Oh, I pick my friends, or I pick this, and I pick what I do with my life, and so on and so forth. Sure, you have free will, but it's all a part of God's perfect plan for your life. So remember who you choose to hang out with and who you choose to do or choose to do with your free time. Just remember that. Just let it glorify God. That's been my challenge lately for myself. Just let everything I do glorify God. I don't have time to play games. I have a family to save. My number one goal is to make it to heaven and take my family and as many other people as I can with me. Let God be your focus. But like I said, you serve a God that hears you, that sees you, that knows exactly where you're at and what He's doing. He knows the beginning to the end. He sees exactly how your situation is going to turn out. The Lord hasn't forgotten about you today, and certainly your promise isn't dead. Psalms 46:10, it's a very special verse to me. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Waiting doesn't mean that your promise is dead. It just means you need to trust in the Almighty God that gave you that promise. Thank you.
Be sure and pick up the latest Indiana Bible College recording entitled Jesus at www.voicevision.com.